Hello, everybody. This is the Gingerbread Man, and I would like to welcome you to my home. Thanks for being here. So, I got up pretty early this morning, which is cool. You know, I try to wake up at the same time every day. I found that consistency has a huge impact on how I feel about my day. One of my favorite podcasters is this dude named Jay Shetty, and he has a tremendous show called On Purpose that I would definitely recommend to anybody looking for any material that is empowering, that kind of stuff. He was a monk. But one of the things he said is that a morning routine is like putting on armor, you know, like an armor for your day, like emotional armor. And it's like if you don't have one, it's like going out into your day without any armor. You're not as protected. And he said this other thing about how certain time periods can build energy. So like when we go to bed at the same time every day, like even though that is habitual, it also seems to make a gravity to the moment almost. So when we get to that moment, you know, it's that time. And I think that's another part of spiritual systems and people who, you know, perhaps go to church on Sundays and you build this ceremony around this time period. The same can be said for birthdays. You know, birthdays carry a lot of momentum and it's a lot more noticeable when you're young. I remember that exhilarating feeling of knowing a holiday or a birthday was coming, and you get numb to it or you get jaded to it in some ways as you age. But even now, like, it carries a momentum to it. And that's kind of this energy that comes in the moment. And so morning routines are so important. And I don't think there's a direct one way to do things, you know. And I'm not going to say prescribe and do what I do. And it's like I didn't even have a good morning routine this morning. I just kind of woke up with a lot of fire inside my belly. And so I went and busted ass. But it had me thinking about mornings, you know. When I'm doing really well and I'm happy, like one of my favorite routines to keep up for myself, just as an example, I like to meditate in the morning. I like to wake up at the same time every day, even on my days off, which is part of what I did today. You know, I got up the exact same time I do for work, which is pretty fucking early. And I also like to do some stretching, something physical. I want to get into more exercise. I'd like to do a short run, like even a mile or two in the morning, like as soon as I get up. Breakfast is key, something I've been skipping a lot, and I know a lot of my other fellow friends and humans out there are probably in a similar boat. But we can't skip breakfast. It's not good for us in any way, shape, or form. It's not any good for us to shirk our duties to the world and society, but also our duties to ourselves. And that includes putting on good armor. And so whatever you need to do in the morning to bring yourself closer to you and to know your intentions and to know what your purpose is, which your purpose and your meaning can be a fleeting thing, and that can change from moment to moment, and that may be colossally different from one day to the next. And so sitting in the morning or doing something, whatever it is in the morning, you know, and just thinking about what did I do yesterday, like a mental diary, you know, what was I doing yesterday? Is there anything I need to work on today? What am I going to do? How am I going to be? And I found that if I wake up and I set those intentions, it's so much easier for me to feel like I have purpose in my day. Whereas if I don't consider anything and I just go immediately into robotic automation, which every morning, as soon as you wake up, in those first introductory moments to reality, it can be very delirious. It can be very confusing. But immediately, comes all these beckoning calls from desire and from aversion. And desire goes, you know, I'm hungry and I'm kind of uncomfortable. There's a kink in my back right here. And I also don't want to get up and I'm tired. And aversion goes, you know, all these things I have to do. And, you know, and like all these strategies that are devised to put us into a robotic state of being where we are only just doing, then we don't have as much creative control over our being in it. And so taking a second before jumping into all the things that we don't or do want to do and saying, you know, I want to be loving today. I want to take care of myself today. I want to be good to the people that I interact with today. I want to speak well today. I want to speak from my heart today. And I want to foster a sense of peace and slowness in my day. And now, holding that energy, I can go eat, and I can roll over, and I can hit snooze if I so desire. But I'm going to hold to those values as I go through all these other things that is just baggage that we have to do. And part of being in this reality, I believe, requires a sense of grace while going through all those things. And when I'm able to set my intentions, I can feel more graceful. So that's part of what I'm thinking about today. But how are you? How are you feeling? Are you listening to this early in the morning or in the evening? Do you have validation from yourself in this moment? And how would we define a concept like validation? I was sitting with my boss the other day, and he has a lot of heavy things on his shoulders. People who are very much involved with the material world, you know, owners, you know, capitalists. I'm not a communist, but like, I mean, even communists could be very involved in the material world. But, you know, my boss has a lot of shit on his plate. He's got a lot of people he's taking care of and responsibilities. And he said a lot of things like, you know, I'm not important, the business is important. Like, he feels like a husk, it seems, when he speaks to me about his own responsibilities. And I sat there with him while he was making himself breakfast the other morning. And the only thing I could think of to say to him after hearing him have this long litany of negative occurrences that he was currently carrying. And I said, you know, I'm really sorry that this is happening. And I'm sorry that you feel this way. But I hope you know that your feelings are valid. And it shouldn't have to come from me or anybody on the outside for that feeling of validity to come through. A lot of the times, especially in my youth, I definitely felt like I was faking it, you know. And I grew up with my father telling me several times, fake it till you make it. And that proverb stuck so thickly in my skull that I think for a long time I felt that everything was an act. And to a certain extent, being social is an act, and we have many roles that we perform. But, and this is where my hoodoo-ness comes in, but deep within, I think there is a spark, a soul, some special essence, an Atman, a piece of us that could be immortal. And I don't have any answers on a lot of these very metaphysical things, but there is a speck of divinity, of perfectness, that conscience is born from. Just like Jiminy Cricket teaching Pinocchio not to lie, I think that we all have something that pushes us towards, and I hate the blanket term of goodness, but there are certain traits that could be involved within this speck of divinity that I sense within all of us and all life and our world. And the material world seems to be hanging on this line of something. And I hate being so vague, but putting these things into words is a bastardization of the process. So now, when we consider validity, when we give ourselves validity, how do we do that? Because a lot of the times, I feel that I have been in a state of mind where I intensely disliked myself. And I'm not trying to say that for a sad sob story, and I'm not trying to garnish pity. I just want you to think about how common it could be for a lot of people out there to dislike themselves. And I have been fostering through my spiritual systems and through my readings and my thought a love with myself. And part of learning how to love myself has been garnishing a relationship with the world, because part of the self is imbued in totality and in unity with everything. Maybe part of this sense of dislike could be that we don't feel that we are in rhythm with our inner ideals. And I'm of the belief that our inner ideals comes from that speck, that soul, that spark. And so, a Buddhist monk was once approached by a devotee. And he came up to him and said, you know, how do I become closer to my Buddha nature? And the monk said, well, are you hungry? Then eat. Are there clouds? It may rain. So when we do something, even if we're playing a role, we have to make it valid. And that comes through acceptance. And acceptance comes through awareness and comes from being watchful and mindful of what we're doing and our actions. And when we do it, we can't yearn for something else, because anything that has happened is in the past at this point once we are reasoning about it. So we can't change any action that has happened. We can wish to do better by being good now in the present moment, but we can't yearn for another action. And so this is where I see the downsides of guilt. And guilt may have a positive effect when it comes to its ability to remind us. Shame can be a very potent catalyst for change. But when we become so encumbered and inebriated with the negative side of this emotion, then we aren't able to acquire any sort of change for ourselves. There's a piece of depression that makes it very much in league with sleep, where there's an amnesia to it and a lack of motivation and just a diminishment of energy, you know. And that's the opposite of what we could have if we are instead looking to empower ourselves. And I would like to think that part of this empowerment comes from our own validity, This means when something happens, even if we do the wrong thing, we can completely accept what we did. In that moment, we can accept what we did. Now, what gets in the way of that? It could be several things. It could be a natural biological temperament. There's a spectrum of being, and there's so many different unique types of people and perspectives and reactions. So that's going to be a major part of how we feel about ourselves and our actions and what we do. Trauma could be another piece. And not to try to be too PC, but everybody has a degree of some trauma. And trauma, like here's an example. My son's lack of a mother, the fact that he hasn't seen his mom in over a year and hasn't had any real attachments with her, that's trauma. It's fucked him up. And it's trauma of omission. Nothing has physically really happened to him, like, say, somebody being physically abused, right? I would say I'm traumatized by a lot of my patterns of addiction in the past, having to go through so many withdrawal sequences. You know, I'm terrified of sobriety, and that's trauma in a way. And this isn't to say that everybody needs to have warm blankets, even though some people might need them. We have things that have happened in our past that make us tread similar paths and make similar decisions again, like a weighted coin. So, also, environment plays a major factor in how we can feel validated. If we are in a toxic environment where somebody may have their own personal issues and have their own baggage that is causing them to have emotional responses, and I have been that person before, and I have been a pit of despair in my workforce just because I've been dealing with personal shit and I've dragged everybody down. I've done that. You know, I don't like to do that, but it's possible and it's part of being human. And so in our environment, if somebody else is suffering next to us, just because of empathy and our neurological ability for us to feel other people's feelings, you know, I know I've talked about it before on the show, but mirror neurons allow our brains to reproduce pain, and we feel physical pain neurologically when we see somebody else feel pain, unless we're broken, which maybe not just broken, but like, so we have nature, we have nurture, we have biological, we have inner, we have outer, we have all these things that are also making it tricky to step out of old patterns and to choose new directions for ourselves. But I just want you to think about the pros and cons in this wager with ourselves. When anything happens and we start to feel the dominoes turn and we start to feel our stomachs wrinkle and we start to feel all these hard human emotions that everybody has to carry and has been carrying since the beginning of time, consider our validity. Realize that we're real. See that what happened happened. Accept it. Work with it. Use it as fodder for new behaviors and a new you. Try not to invalidate. Try not to see yourself as a failure. You are not a mistake. You are a beautiful, wonderful human with amazing faults that make you so unique. All right. Well, I think that's my yarn. As always, I'm forever grateful for your attention and your ears. Having you here with me is one of the crucial pieces of the, and the many breadcrumbs that I leave for myself back to me. This project has provided me a purpose, and it wouldn't be as purposeful if you weren't here with me. So thank you. Thank you so much for being you. I'm going to go grab a good book real quick, and then we'll see how it goes. So I just started this new one. It's a translation and basically like a curation by Thomas Cleary of the Analects of Confucius. So these are a commentary on what's called the I Ching, which is also known as the Book of Changes. It's a very old book that comes from China. And soon I want to do like just like a little research episode where I'm going to look into China and I'm going to try to present it. So that'll be coming up here in the future soon too. So get excited for that. So yeah, this is from commentary on verse 17 of the Book of Change. Good people go inside and rest when the sun goes down. Confucius remarked, "I wish to say nothing." One of his pupils said, "If you said nothing, what would the disciples have to pass on?" Confucius retorted, "What does the sky say? The four seasons go on in it. All beings are born under it. What does the sky say?" Confucius said to his foremost disciple, "To act when employed and hide when rejected, it seems only you and I can do this." Confucius said, "To pursue oddities only leads to harm." One of the disciples said, "It is possible to hear about the teacher's exoteric culture, but it is not possible to hear him speak of nature and the way of heaven." Today I'm reading from Ursula K. Le Guin's Dao De Cheng, compilation by Lao Tzu. To look for life is to find death. The 13 organs of our living are the 13 organs of our dying. Why are the organs of our life where the death enters us? Because we hold too hard to living. So I've heard, if you live in the right way, when you cross country, you needn't fear to meet a mad bull or a tiger. When you're in a battle, you needn't fear the weapons. The bull wouldn't find nowhere to jab its horns. The tiger nowhere to stick its claws. The sword nowhere for its point to go. Why? Because there is nowhere in you for death to enter. Right. I feel all those were pretty damn vague. So let's all think about those as we go into our week. All right. Thank you, guys. I'm gonna go get O.
Hi. Oh, sorry. Hello again.
Oh!
I was not trying to say bye to you.
That's fine.
You know, it's the weekends today.
It is the weekends today. I'm going to talk about your hair. I'm going to talk about your new game. What are you going to talk about?
My wobbly.
What is it?
So, I got this wobbly game called Wobbly
Life.
Wobbly Life. And then we do a bunch of things. You just get money and do jobs.
Oh. And you like having something to work for and feeling like you have a job?
Yeah. That's and that's cool. It.
Okay. Well, thank you. I love you, bud.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Have a great week.